We have three services here at Lifeway on a Sunday morning. Some of you may be more accustomed to coming at this hour, the 10:30 hour, but at 8 o'clock, bright and early on Sundays, we have a traditional service where we do the hymns and we play the keyboard. And two of the gentlemen that help out and help to lead at that service are my friend John Duke and my friend Charles Hardage. And they're going to do a little something special for us today. God bless y'all as you minister.
Almost 150 years of life experience between those two. And over 100 years of serving the Lord in ministry. Thank you, guys. This morning at the 8 o'clock worship hour, someone said to me, you've been using Simon Peter's life experience for sermons for several weeks. Is there a book that you have that could really give me Simon's life experience, Simon's autobiography, or his biography? I said, absolutely. It's called the Bible. It's where I've been drawing those stories from. And my point is not to focus so much on Simon Peter as it is for us to look in the mirror and see ourselves acted out in the same way that Simon Peter did. Bold, courageous, he stumbled at times, and so do we. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter. And would you stand, please, in honor of God's Word? Mark chapter 14. After the Passover celebration in the upper room, the Lord's Supper, verse 27 says, "And Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away, because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee.' But Peter said to him, 'Even though all may fall away, yet I will not.' And Jesus said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' But Peter kept saying insistently, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' And they all were saying the same thing also." Father, I pray that we would be strong in our faith, but to recognize the reality that we all fall, we all deny. Help us to confess and to be healed. For I pray in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So Jesus told his disciples, "You're all going to fall away." And Peter said, "Not me." But he did. If you move ahead to 66 verse and following, you know that story where while Jesus was being tried in Caiaphas' house, Simon was out in the crowd warming his hands by the fire. And a young woman said to him, "You are one of his followers." He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." She said, you have been with him." He said, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know this person that you're mentioning." He left that particular place and sort of worked his way into a crowd hoping to sort of disappear. And she followed him and she said, "Your dialect gives you away. You are one of his." And Jesus said, Peter said, "I never knew him." He called a curse down upon himself if he were lying. And of course he was. Luke's gospel tells us that when Jesus came out of the trial, his eyes focused on Peter. What a penetrating look that must have been. Three times, Simon Peter denied Jesus just as he said he would. Have you ever denied Jesus? You say, "I wouldn't do that. I believe in Jesus. I'm surrendered to Jesus." My question is, have you ever denied him? Denial sometimes comes in the boldness of saying, "I don't know who he is." Few in this room would ever do anything like that. But I suspect that every one of us at one time or another have failed to stand up for Jesus when the opportunity was there. Failed to speak out for Jesus when the opportunity was risen. We've all had the opportunity to be Simon Peter. He is us and we are him. When I read that story, I look for questions and thoughts about what does it mean to us today. What can we learn? What can we do beyond just sort of ragging on Peter, saying, "Shame on you, you should have been more faithful than that"? Let's make it about us and not about him. The one thing that I discovered from this story, very simply, Jesus warned Simon Peter, and so we are warned as well. He said to him, "You will all fall away." The word "fall away" comes from the Greek word "scrutinize." But literally it means to be entrapped. You know, the Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But if we're not careful, we will all be like Simon Peter. We will forget our humanity, which is weak. And we will forget the devil's temptations, which are strong. And we, too, are suspect to fall away. Jesus says in Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray that you not fall into temptations. The spirit is willing, but the body, the flesh, is weak." Peter was sincere. Peter was believing what he said, that he would stand up for Jesus, that he would die rather than deny him. His spirit was willing. His flesh was weak. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed. Be careful. Be watchful. Take heed lest he falls. And then Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, devote yourself to prayer and keep alert in it. And Simon Peter, the very one who could not stay awake when Jesus asked him to pray, the one who's hiding in the shadows at this very moment of the story, he would later write, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, roams about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Jesus warns us, be on the alert. Be careful. Recognize the potential for falling. Second thing that I learned from this story, our best intentions are not good enough. Our best intentions are not good enough. Peter was loyal, but he kept sleeping instead of praying. He kept hiding in the shadows. When I was a child, there was a business at the end of the street that we lived on that made tombstones. There was not a cemetery in sight, but this little business right on the corner of our street made tombstones. And one that I rode by on my bicycle regularly, this huge stone that sort of gave evidence of their ability to carve in a stone, had this inscription: the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I don't know that anybody ever bought that one for their tombstone. May have been appropriate for some, but it stayed there the whole time. The point was this: our best intentions are not good enough. Peter's best intentions are not good enough. And when we deny Jesus, it's not that we're so blatant like Simon Peter. It's those subtle things, like saying no to his Spirit's leading, like failing to yield to his leadership. Just simply not doing what God intends for us to do. Not being faithful. Well, there's something else that I find from this story. Jesus gave Peter a signal that he had denied. The Holy Spirit becomes our warning signal. He said to him, before the cock crows three times, before the rooster crows three times, you shall deny me. Now, I'm going to ruin some of your theology of this story. He wasn't talking about a feathered friend. The Tower of Antonio was a place where a bugler on the hour would trumpet a sound that caused the guard to change. And in Latin, the word for that was gallinsinium. Gallinsinium. Now, I know none of you speak Latin. Why my older granddaughter takes Latin, I'll never understand. It's a dead language. But she's quick to point out that Latin is sort of the forerunner to all the Romance languages, including Spanish. And if you speak Spanish, you know the word for chicken or for rooster is gallo or gallicina. That's the word. The sound of the trumpet sounded like a rooster crowing. Now, I will apologize now for those of you who insist that it was a rooster. See, sometimes we think we know what Jesus meant by the words he uses, but unless we study the context of the moment, we may miss it. You'll get over it. That's fine. The point was, Jesus said there will be a warning signal, an alarm, to remind you that you have denied. Do you know that you and I have a warning signal, an alarm, to let us know in advance before we deny, before we sin? That's what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, brings an alarm to the world, convicts the world of sin. Alarms have value. We have an alarm in our home. We've had it since we moved into that home 20 years ago. And it's bothered Kay for years that I'm not real concerned or worried about setting the alarm at night before we go to sleep. So after a number of years, she decided that if it bothered her, she ought to take care of it. And so she set the alarm one night. Before we went to bed, she said, the alarm's on. Okay, I got the alarm's on. I was the first one up in the morning. She said, the alarm's on. I got the alarm's on. Guess who was the first one to set the alarm off? Not me. We did discover that the alarm system works, and they called. My point being that alarms have value. And the greatest spiritual alarm we have is the Holy Spirit, which convicts us concerning sin. And by the way, when I read this story of Simon Peter, it's so easy to rag on Simon, get down on him about his failures. But let me point out to you, to me, the most significant phrase in this whole story is found in verse 72. When Peter heard the sound, the Bible says he wept. He wept. Someone once wrote it this way, godly sorrow leads to repentance. His heart broke. Not when Jesus said, you will deny me, and he said, I won't ever do that, but when he actually did deny Jesus and the alarm that Jesus mentioned convicted him, he wept. When a believer is convicted of sin by the Holy Spirit, it should bring about brokenness. It should bring about weeping. That, to me, is the most significant part of the story. Well, it all seems to be kind of negative for Peter, but let me ask the question in a positive way. What if Peter had not denied Jesus? What about you? What if instead of refusing to speak up or stand up for Jesus, what if you yielded yourself fully to him? You say, well, that's what I'd like to do as a believer. That's really my desire. But the truth is, you and I both know that we can't do that in our own strength. But the wisdom writer gives us a point of reference that might be helpful. He says, if you will trust in the Lord with all of your heart and not lean to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, you are empowering him to make your path straight, to direct your path. You want to be one who limits the amount of denial? You want to be one who's able to stand strong when the opportunity to testify of your faith comes? Trust God. Let him empower you. Let him equip you. Let him strengthen you. Simon Peter will learn valuable lessons from this moment. So can we. You bow with me as we pray together. Father, I do thank you that there's stories to be learned from the characters of old. Week after week, we are discovering that we are Simon Peter, human, frail, sometimes bold, sometimes opinionated, but mostly just ourselves. So help us in our weakness. Strengthen us in our faith. Help us to trust you sufficiently that we might walk worthy of the calling that's ours in Christ. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So what's the application of the message for you today? You may be still sitting there saying, I don't believe it wasn't a rooster. That's okay. Maybe that's what you learned from the lesson today. Maybe you are saying, I just think you're making too big of a deal about this business of sin and denial. Well, then maybe the Holy Spirit needs to get some access to your mind. But maybe you are fully recognizing there have been moments in my life when I've not been all God intends for me to be. And rather than to feel guilty, feel grateful that he convicts us and he also strengthens us. However that applies to you, let God work it in your life. Let's stand and sing this hymn of commitment. If there's a public response, I'll meet you at the front.